The scripture is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, starting with verse 1. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and the religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When it was found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors saying, "Celebrate with me, I found the lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Or imagine a woman who had 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. "Celebrate with me, I found my lost coin. Count on it." That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. The word of God for the people of God.
We just sang one of the most beloved hymns in the church, Amazing Grace. And yet, it's funny, after I had preached last week on grace and was talking about cheap grace, I had a person who heard the sermon comment back to me, "But you didn't explain what grace is." And today I want to take a moment and talk about grace. What we heard today that Carrie read from Luke 15 are two of three stories that come to us about God's grace and strong desire to find us wherever we are. The first two, of course, were the lost sheep and the lost coin. Anyone know what the third one might be? The lost son, the prodigal son. And in these three stories, we have a very deep explanation for what grace is as God understands grace. So let's take a look at that today. First, I want to talk about why, when faced with this grumbling from the temple elite, Jesus elects to talk in parables. Parables are simple stories that are used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. The important thing about them is that they relate to the hearers, but they also come away from the primary issue and help us see it through a new lens. They're the ability for us to step back from what we're facing and understand a deeper context about what is being spoken to by the one telling us the parable. Parables always begin with the world we know and end in a world that is even now dawning upon us through this metaphorical power. The parables start with life as we live it. For example, a shepherd in Jesus' story loses one of the flock. And we don't know if this is the first time that this sheep has gone missing, do we? It may have been the third time. They may have put a bell around its neck already. We don't know, do we? All we know is that the shepherd looks fervently until the sheep is found. And a woman loses one of her 10 drachmas. Now, you could argue, she has 9 left. Why is she looking? Because it matters to her. Each one matters to her. And so when one is missing, the overall number in her pouch is not complete. There's another difference in these stories. Shepherds in the time of Jesus don't own their flocks. They're workers. They're in the field working to be able to tend this flock. The owner's somewhere else. But just because this shepherd didn't own the flock, he cared deeply about them to the extent that he left 99 to find that one errant sheep. Please understand that the woman who lost the coin owned the coins. They were hers. That was her pouch. She could have elected to say, "Yep, I have enough." But instead, she turned the house upside down, looking for the one that was lost. But the emphasis in these parables, if you listen to how Carrie read them, the emphasis in these parables is not on how they became lost. Please hear that. It's not about how that sheep went missing. It's not about how that coin ended up outside of the pocket. That's not what it's about. It's about being found. It's about the one who will not stop until the sheep or the coin is found. And then rejoices so much that there is a celebration over that which is found. Underlying all of this is a very strong and persistent form of grace. The grace where God will not give up on us. Now, if you're anything like me, you have been lost a time or two in your life. You have found a time when you perhaps have been separated from however you might define the flock. And yet, we have a God who will absolutely do everything to find us, to woo us, to call us, to invite us into deeper relationship with God's self. And that's grace. Nothing that we merit by ourselves. We don't deserve to be found because we have become lost. But God values us so very much that God's grace and love for us persists, not only now, but forever. This grace that will constantly pursue us, John Wesley called prevenient grace. The grace that goes before us knowing, the saving grace in Jesus Christ. And here's an important piece. This prevenient grace is available to everyone and not just a select few, as some of Wesley's contemporaries believed. Unfortunately, there are many who resist God's prevenient grace and never choose to come to Christ in faith and continue their spiritual journeys. Through the saving grace of acknowledging Jesus Christ. But yet, God continues to pursue us. This grace is due to nothing that we do on our own. Instead, it is an unmerited gift from God, given to us without price. By God's grace, the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, drawing us closer to Christ. I want you to think about times when you may have been headed in a direction of being lost. You may have been that sheep that was playing hide and seek with the shepherd. In that time, God's grace persisted. Like the shepherd and the searching woman, God found you where you were, loved you as you were, and invited you into a deeper relationship. And this is important because this grace of God seeks out all people. Because God is the creator of the entire universe. As we see in John's gospel, it says, "For God so loved the world." Not just this group or that group, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And this grace of God that pursues us, it's not dependent upon anything that we have done or upon anything that we may do. It is simply love. Love that pursues us and surrounds us. It's important to realize that this type of love is not karma. Are we familiar with the term karma? Some are, some aren't. Okay. In some beliefs, such as Hindu and Buddhist beliefs, there is this idea that what we get is what we deserve. That what goes around comes around. Maybe not in this, in their belief, incarnation, but perhaps in others. But the cosmic scales will be set right, if you will. There's the belief that good intent and good deeds contribute to good karma and happier lives, while bad intent and bad beliefs contribute to bad karma and bad lives. In other words, in short, there's a spiritual cause and effect. Now, this is the belief of those who believe in karma, that what you do, you get what you deserve. But God's grace, as we understand it in Christianity, is actually getting what we don't deserve. Because we are so beloved by God. There are times in all of our lives where we certainly don't deserve mercy and don't deserve grace. We deserve to remain lost. Because maybe that was our choice, or maybe that was a situation that we found ourselves in. But this persistent love of God is not determined by us. It's determined by God. Now that we understand grace a little bit more, and the grace of that which continues to seek us and come after us until we are found. We need to go back to the story that Carrie read for us. Oftentimes, we look at phrases in the Bible or stories without the proper context of what was happening within them. That context being, what's going on? Who is Jesus speaking to? And we need to identify those things so we understand the grace that Jesus was offering to those in the story. the parables today of the lost coin and the lost sheep are about the worthiness of all to be found and celebrated and fully included into the flock to pursue Christ with others. The temple elite who were deriding Jesus for associating with those of doubtful reputation did not understand the real purpose and principle of God's grace, which is to pursue us all in love. Even today, there are segments of Christianity who do not believe that God's grace is available to all without price. Rather, it's something that we earn. It's something that we perhaps have been given by being part of the elect. And there are segments of Christianity who believe that we should not associate with those and include those whose identity includes things that we would term to be dubious in reputation. We need to think about this because Jesus is speaking to those who were saying, wait a minute, why are you eating with them? Why are you associating with them? You know, they're not clean. They don't uphold the purity laws of the church. Excuse me, the synagogue of the day. They are people who we say it's not good for you to hang out with. Why are you spending your time with them? Why are you being seen with him or with her? Starting to get it? Parables apply when we hear it in our current context and can relate it to our own lives. So when is a time that you've been lost and someone pursued you and loved you and encouraged you and spoke with you and brought you home? When is a time when someone around you was lost? And through prayer and through example and through Jesus' parable, you knew you had to reach out to them in the love of Christ, and you had to pursue them and love them and surround them, understanding that they may choose to run away again and become lost anew. How is it that the grace that God shows to us and to all people, we sometimes want to hold on to so tight for ourselves, and we forget that we are blessed only so that we may show the same blessings to others? Here's the bottom line today. We do not get to choose who God offers grace to. In fact, it's available to all. Prevenient grace surrounds all people, beckoning, calling, and wooing them into deeper relationship with the God of all creation. So today, let's all rethink our understanding of God's love and grace and associate with all people, not just those who you may think, based upon your assumptions, are holy and upright in the eyes of the Lord. Let's all work and not condemn and exclude because we think that someone may have lost their way. And if you think that the moral of these parables, and really the arc of all Scripture, is not about grace? I'd like someone, please, to open a Bible in front of you to Revelation 22:21. It is the last verse of Scripture. Could someone do that for me, please? Do we have it? Could you read it for me, sir? The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all God's people. Amen?